The Local Flavor Live podcast is powered by AudioStack, which provides all the tools you need to host, distribute, and monetize your podcast. Welcome to Local Flavor Live, a podcast about the food and drink scene in Baltimore. I'm your host, Lauren Cohen, and I'm back today with our food and dining editor, Jane Marion, and a very special guest. We're so excited to have Rosalind Vera from Cristina Luchadores with us today. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, I'm so happy you're here.
I'm so excited.
Yes. Usually I say, yo, Elsie, but I'm going to say, hola.
Ah, see
you know what's funny, Jane? I forgot to tell you. Somebody who I met just kind of like professionally earlier this week, I said, hi, I'm Lauren, and she goes, oh my gosh, LC, it was the funniest thing. It must have been if she was a listener, had listened to the podcast. So I was like, Jane and her LC tag, it's catching on.
It's gonna stick with you.
Yes. But Rosalind, thank you so much for coming on today.
Well, thank you so much. I'm very excited.
Yeah, we're so happy to chat with you. If for any listeners who don't know, Rosalind was recently awarded one of our Best of Baltimore awards in our August issue. We awarded her Best Badass, which is very well deserved. Jane, I know you agree.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I would like to be a badass, yes. We'll talk more about why she won and how she won a bit later in the podcast.
But yes,
suffice it to say, we're really pleased to have a badass in the studio today.
Absolutely. And she's, I mean, we were just talking about this. She's the first best badass we've ever given. So you're the reigning champ.
Well, I really appreciate you guys. Thank you so much. I'm very excited and I'm happy to be here with guys and to be able to share this.
We're being silly, but we do love what you stand for. So at any rate.
Yeah, so we're going to roll through some food news quickly so that we can get to our conversation with Rosalind, but always want to make sure we're addressing what's going on in the scene. So earlier this week, we found out that there's a new pop-up series that's going into the former parts and labor space in Remington. This is something that we've been keeping tabs on for a while. It's been about a year, right? I remember you interviewed Spike when parts and labor closed.
Yeah, we broke that story.
So
it's been a while.
About a year, and there have been some concepts that have been in the works to go in there permanently that unfortunately haven't stuck. So we were really pleased to hear about this pop-up series. I think it's great that there's some kind of activation there. I think it's, you know, it's just been vacant, and it's such a cool space. It's a former auto and tire repair shop.
Yeah, I mean, they spent a fortune on that open grill, and certainly somebody should heat it up and start cooking.
Yeah, and I think what's great is that this is going to be a barbecue pop-up. So people who are missing getting those awesome cuts of meat that Parts and Labor specialized in, you can look out for this reoccurring series. It's going to kick off on August 5th, I believe, August 10th, from noon to 5, and there is a regional barbecue purveyor called Bark Barbecue that's going to be serving up meats that day, paired along with beers from Diamondback and smoked cocktails from Our Bar, neighboring Our Bar in Remington from our house. So it seems like it's going to be a great first event on August 10th. And I'm really looking forward to seeing how these pop-ups continue and keep going in that space.
Yeah, that's great.
I think it's one that's missed, for sure. I think people in Remington miss it. Did you ever get there, Rosalind?
Of course. Yes. I miss Parts and Labor. It's amazing.
Yes. I think people were shocked when when I got the call that Spike wanted to talk to me. I was shocked, honestly.
But yeah.
It wasn't profitable. It was admirable, their mission of whole animal butchery, but he just couldn't quite make it work.
Right.
Make the numbers work, so.
Yeah. But a good community space nonetheless, so it's really great to get somebody in there. So looking forward to that. And we also heard, speaking of barbecue, but a different kind of barbecue, there's a Korean barbecue spot that's going into Belvedere Square. So this is the standalone restaurant that kind of infamously has had a revolving door track record over the years. So it's the former home of, speaking of Spike's concepts, Shoe Fly Diner, which was there. Starlight Diner was even more recent. And then, you know, really, if you want to take it back, old school places like Crush and Demi and Taste. So I remember those. They were like cocktail bar concepts.
Yeah.
So it's had many different lives. And now it's going to be reincarnated as a Korean barbecue spot in the fall.
Yeah. Korean barbecue is trending.
It is.
I won't say any more, but look out for Korean barbecue in our October Global Eats issue.
Yes.
You know, I reported a story a few years back on what we call cursed spaces, and hopefully this spell will be broken, but that this,
fingers crossed,
this particular site was definitely a focus of the story. And I know one person, I think it was Ned Atwater, surmised that, you know, it used to be an old-fashioned shoe shop.
Like, oh, for people who grew up here. Shoe store.
Was it Hess or Florsheim?
Yes.
Or one of those, you know, the sliding board, you know, there was like the old sliding board for the kids to try on their shoes and then slide down, and that people just couldn't reimagine that space as a restaurant. So,
right.
You know, someone's got to break the curse here. So hopefully it'll be the Korean barbecue place.
I'm so excited. Hoping that it is the one that finally breaks that curse. And, you know, we don't know much about the menu as of yet, but I can imagine that it's going to be kind of hopefully authentic Korean barbecue, which is great. We have a lot of those amazing authentic places already, but to kind of continue that and bring it to a different neighborhood, I think is going to be great. So that place is called Koba Barbecue. So be on the lookout for that in the coming months. It's slated to open by the end of the year. So we'll definitely keep everybody updated about that. And then our last piece of news, Tiger Style closed, which was open only six months in Hamden. We talked to the owner, Chad, who also is the owner of the food market, and, you know, he confirmed the closure and also let us know that it had been sold to someone that we don't know yet. Definitely planning on digging into it further and reporting further, obviously. But it's been sold, and I think it's a cool space back there. I think it'll be interesting to see what the new iteration is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He said to me last night, carry out wasn't for me. So, you know, there you have it.
Yeah.
It's, I guess, good to cut your losses. I don't know if there were losses, but to get out, you know,
right.
if it's not your thing.
Exactly. But yes. So, you know, always sad when we have any kind of closing, but, you know, more openings and closings this week, which is always great. That was my very abbreviated version of food news for the week.
Did that fast.
Yes.
Speed. Let's talk to Roslyn.
I'm so excited. Yes, let's do that. Roslyn, we are so happy to have you. And I think you have such a great story when it comes to bringing your family's traditions to light at the restaurant. For anyone who hasn't been, go. Like, just go. Get there for lunch. Get there, you know, whenever you can. I think if it's on your list, just get there, because the food is incredible. And I think it tells a story in such a really, you know, authentic way. So, you know, maybe we can kind of rewind the clock and you can tell that story of where your family's from and what brought you to Baltimore.
Okay, well, I was born in New York.
Great.
So my parents immigrated in the 70s. They met in New York. So then it was three of us. And then we were sent to Mexico with my grandmother. So I grew up with my grandmother in Mexico City. And between, we would travel a lot to Oaxaca and Puebla. So that's what, you know. And then we came back to the States. I was 12. Back to New York, and my parents had restaurants. So we started in that business very early.
Wow. Did your parents meet in a restaurant?
No. Well, I think my dad started as a dishwasher in New York.
Okay.
So he did not want that, obviously. So he would go, you know, take a shower and, like, go back to another restaurant to learn to become a cook.
Wow.
So he, you know, and without pay. Whatsoever.
Oh, my goodness. And your mom, was she working in the kitchen?
My mom, what she told me, she used to work in the factories and, like, still sewing.
I
do remember, now that talking about that she would take us to the factories over to.
You know what? So did my grandmother on the Lower East Side.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of Russian immigrants.
Isn't it amazing how we connect and all this stuff? And that's how it was. So, but then she was a stay-at-home mom, and so she took care of us. So that's how it started. And then we moved to Houston, and then here in the 2000.
Wow.
So yeah, my dad got a job in Captain James.
Oh my goodness. I didn't know that.
So that's where all that story started.
In. Is that why quesadillas suddenly appeared on the menu at Captain James?
Probably. I don't know. I'm not sure. No, but yeah, she, you know, he started in Captain James. So that's where it started. All in the restaurant.
Yes.
Like, you know, all linked into that. So now here we are.
That's beautiful. Wow. What a funny story.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah. So, you know, he told us, he's like, oh, it's really nice. Baltimore is beautiful. Like, it wasn't nothing like all this construction that's going on right now, right?
Wow.
But, and we were like, okay, let's go back. Let's move over to the east side because we are from the east.
Right.
Like, we love Houston, but yeah, we, you know, we are from the east side, so.
So did you grow up eating your parents?
Almost
cooking?
Definitely, yeah. My mom would always have big amounts of food all the time. So yes. We had to have huge pancakes for breakfast.
Pancakes.
Bacon, all kind. It was a big meal for breakfast. And imagine us, like, when, you know, getting ready to go to school, like, and having to eat this big meal. Or she would have, like, soft-boiled eggs. And we would, like, you know, eat, you know, get all that protein and
ready so, for your day.
Did she make Mexican food?
Oh yeah, yeah. She would always make us, you know, different, like eggs with chorizo or just, you know, or a taco or just, you know, but all the time we would have huge meals and we would have to eat it.
How many children?
Three.
Okay.
Yeah.
Poor little Rosalyn.
Oh my God, it was really hard for us to eat it. But I would eat everything. Like my brothers was like, I would be the one, and they would call me like, "Oh yeah, she's gonna eat it, so just give it to her." Because so I would always, like, you know, eat everything that, you know, they had, like, leftovers because it was so good. How could you not eat it?
Yeah, right. No, I wish I had grown up in your family.
I know.
Right, but it was a lot of us. Like, I mean, I grew up with cousins, and it was, like, a lot of us in an apartment, you know. So they would immigrate, and, like, we would, you know, my parents would help them. And
so they would come to live with
we
you.
We had huge amounts of meals all the time.
How many people were living with
probably
you?
Probably, like, no, in a, like, in an apartment, like, it was just, like, two families that had, like, three bedrooms. But, like, it was always, like, a lot of people in my house. Yeah. There was, like, always parties.
Oh, it's a real story, too.
So we always had parties or something. There was always something, some gathering of some sort because, you know, multiple birthdays.
Yes,
and,
so,
and it was a lot of fun. I mean,
yeah
so that's how I grew up. I grew up very, as they want to say, like, very happy and Mexican here in the United States. No?
Yes, no, you've shared that with me before. That joy, I think, comes through in passion in your food and in the food that your parents have cooked for us
when we
come in. So did you learn to cook from them? Were you in the kitchen with your parents?
Well, I mean, I would see, you know, how they cooked and all the gatherings and help out, you know, but not really. Mm-hmm. Not really. I think I'm more like a learner of just watching.
Yeah.
In that sense. And throughout recipes and stuff like that, that, you know, my mom, you know, handed them to us. Not really, because we really, you know, just jot it down really fast because she would tell you, this is just a little bit of this, a little bit of that, but that's it.
Right.
Like, not a proper recipe. And then you probably know
old school.
Know
that's
that very old
cook.
School. And, like, look at me. This is how I do it. And, you know. And
you do it
and
by feel.
Because right. And pretty much it's like, you know, and we would, like, she would just make a meal out of nothing, right?
Wow.
Like, just, like, we would be, like, so hungry. She's like, okay, don't worry. We'll make it really fast. And then, like, just cut up everything and just have it
what would she
done.
Make?
And I'm like, and then I would just, like, ask her, like, mommy, what is the name of this food, right? And mama, and she's like, it's el desmadre, which is, like, whatever. So a little bit of everything.
I love that. Can you remember one of those meals? Something that she took?
Of course. Like, you know, just, like, sopes or just, you know, sopes are very, very, very special to us because it's, like, made with your hands and, like.
For our listeners, tell us what they are.
Sopes is, like, a thicker tortilla, slightly, like, pinch on the ends, right? So it's, and then we lightly fry it. And then you put refried beans.
Oh, that sounds delicious.
Your choice. We usually do, like, chicken, right? And then you put lettuce, sour cream, and cheese on top. Ooh. And then, you know, or you can just have it, like, just sencillos, which is usually how we love it and all the kids in the family love it, especially, like, my niece, Anna. She just goes crazy with the sencillos, which is just refried beans and sour cream and cheese, just sencillos.
I'm there.
Yes.
Sencillos, just really, really basic, just plain and nothing. Yeah. That's how it
So going back to Captain James, and that's a
Oh,
great,
I know, right?
That was... How did how did your family decide, kind of collectively, because you really have a family business, your mom and dad are in the kitchen, right? And
well, not anymore, because not anymore. They already handed it over to me. And
they did, okay. But yeah. You're there. I see you, you know, bringing in some cousins, sometimes your own daughter.
Oh, yes. Family. Yes. It's a very family-ish restaurant.
How did you decide, all of you, I guess, to or your parents, to open up your own place? Because that's...
It just happened out of, it just happened. It was an opportunity to rent the place. I didn't have any idea what to do at the beginning, you know. I just didn't have it. My brother had it. But, you know, he got offered a bigger job. So, yes. You know, he's an amazing chef in Saudi
Arabia. Where's your brother?
I believe that he's in Hamden.
Mm-hmm. That's right. At Avenue Kitchen.
That's right.
You told
he's
me.
Awesome.
Yes.
And
he's
Chef
Odile. He's amazing.
Yeah, he's very talented. So, you know, I don't think that was, you know, it wasn't something. So, but he's an amazing, talented person. I took over. I'm so sorry. So,
no problem.
I took over and then, you know, just made.
So you've been open
out of
two,
it.
Three
two
years?
2 years.
Wow. Yeah, and you've done a lot. So, you know, listening to your story, you know, again, you know, your family kind of, you know, coming here, going to New York, Houston, Texas, landing in Baltimore, your dad being a dishwasher, and then here you have your own wonderful spot in Upper Fells, and have as much right to be there as anyone else. And,
well, I really appreciate you guys. Yeah. I am very thankful.
Yeah.
To Baltimore Magazine.
Yeah, there's a lot of love
definitely.
Between us.
Yeah,
for sure. But,
I think it was this love at first sight, like they
I
say.
I kind of remember. I remember when we shot some for the taco feature.
The cover.
Yes, we shot the cover for the taco feature, and I remember Jane coming back into the office and just being like, "Oh my gosh, there's so much love in this place." You know, and I think it comes out in you talking about your family and just talking about. You know, side note for listeners, Rosalind walked into our office with a huge bag of food when she came in today.
Just how she flies.
Yes, and it's all about family with you. Yeah. And it's all about, you know, the traditions of your food and sharing that love with your customers, which I think is incredible. So I think this is interesting. How did you come up with the name, Cocina Luchadoras?
Oh, Cocina Luchadoras. Yeah, it was between my sister and myself. So I got to give credit, a lot of credit to Dalida.
Yes.
My La Flaca, which we call her La Flaca because she's very skinny. So we are like, we always use nicknames for
what's La Flaca?
La Flaca is the skinny one.
Oh, okay. All right.
So that's why, you know, she's like, oh, you know, we've been through a lot or... You know, from like grandma being a single mom, raising 11 kids, you know, like all of our, you know.
Kids. Wow.
Well, from one side of the family and then the other side too, pretty much they married, you know, young and then either, well, my grandpa was, you know, shot. So he didn't, you know, she was a single mom.
He was killed.
Yes. Yeah, so then on my dad's side.
Oh.
And then it's on my mom's, you know, he was an older person. So they used to get married really young too. With older people, because they would marry them into them, not even deciding. They would just marry them. So
arranged marriage. Yeah.
Right.
So, you know, hardworking women. We are very hardworking women, all of us. Look at you. Always working. So it's because it's an honor for us, you know, to honor us as women. Cocina Luchadoras, hardworking women.
I love that. Well, so you... I think it was back in January or last winter, you had some political posters that were posted in your restaurant, and the next thing you knew, you were getting death threats. So we have honored your badassness for standing up to that kind of behavior, in our Best of Baltimore. We really admire the fact that you did not back down. But I'm wondering if you can just share that story with us, about these political posters and just sort of the unfolding of the events and what was going through your head. I mean, you must have been scared, even though you didn't back down. I mean, you have a family and...
Right. Yeah, it was very scary, very controversial within, like, family. It was very hard because we're saying, okay, you know, it's fine, we're here for you. But the other side was like, you know, don't do stuff like that. It's not okay, you know.
I mean,
but
they were
like
anti-Trump
my family.
Posters,
yeah, it was really hard. So it was a death threat. And one of my friends, which is, you know, he's the one that called it out to to this newspaper. So that's when it came out, mm-hmm. all these threats, because they would call me constantly. This guy.
Did you call the police?
Or I what? Did. So I reached out to them. I reached out to the police. I tried to make a report. I made a report. I mean, mm-hmm. there was a big thing, a community thing that came out and stuff to support us. But I did not want to get known by that, you know? It's just, right. you know, that poster had been there for, I want to say, probably a year and a half.
Right, right.
It's not even something, it belongs to a mezcal company. Right. So it just, but it's, you know, it's something that I believe in too, you know? But I'm not, you know, I had to take it down because I didn't want any more, yeah. you know, problems.
Right.
Just because I do have, you know, I have my family and I
yes,
have.
Yes, of course.
And it's really hard because I believe that, you know, I thought that we're in the freedom of speech, like, you know, in...
Yes, in America.
But we're not. It's really hard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it certainly...
It's hard. It's sad, yeah. you know, that we cannot... But well, I still did it.
Yeah, still you there. Did. And, you know, when uh-huh. you come into...
I always Cocina luchadora. I always told Dalida, I was like, they're going to have such a hard time. And she's like, no, they won't.
No, I've said it before.
It'll be cocina. I think you use the more the Italian.
That's exactly
so
right.
So just remember the O, cocina.
Cocina. Okay,
cocina
I always say I'm never going to get it wrong again.
Uh-huh.
But when you step into that space, there's so much expression. It's really artistic from the colorful chalkboards and the t-shirt that you're wearing today, your branding of the luchadoras with
yeah.
flowers in her hair.
Which I'm very excited. We're going to start branding out.
Yeah.
You know, and
yeah.
hats. And
visually, it's this is your personal expression. Everything from the food to the artwork to the political posters. And as you say, we are in America. But we're proud of you for, you know, for standing up and saying what you want to say and, you know, and moving on.
I think I want to get known more that, you know, for our food. Because our food is so amazing and yeah. beautiful. And yeah. it's just made with so much love and probably made here in Baltimore, right? Mm-hmm. What else can we ask for?
Exactly.
That you can come, you don't have to travel to Mexico. You can just come to places, beautiful, amazing places, businesses that we have here in Baltimore.
Yeah. Can you tell us what makes your food distinct, because we tend to lump all Mexican food together, all Chinese food
oh,
together.
Oh, right, right.
Mm-hmm. We'll say, you know, I'm having Mexican food tonight, but your Mexican food, as you pointed out before this podcast started, is that, you know, it's different from a clavel in Remington.
So oh, well, what, you know, it's the,
yeah, what's the
but I do love clavel, no?
Yeah, I know you do. I'm not ever putting
clavel,
down clavel.
Clavel, yeah, clavel is one of my favorites, and I love Lane and este Carlos, yeah. so,
uh-huh. so
I
tell
respect
us what
them,
makes,
but...
Your food, you know, distinct from your region of where you spent your summer.
Oh, of course. Yeah, yeah. From. Like Oaxaca and Puebla. So I bring a little bit of everything in Mexico City. So it makes it, you know, if you get our tortas, and I don't know if you ever tried our tortas,
oh
which
God.
Today is Thursday and Thursday.
Size of football. Massive.
Right. They're becoming very popular. So they're more Mexico City style, right? The sopes, which I described earlier, are more like a Puebla mm-hmm. sort of size.
What makes the tortas Mexico City style?
Oh, Mexico City style is because the way that it's toasted and the bread that we toasted before, and then we put that mayonnaise and the refried beans, like a little bit of that and avocado, and it's just the taste. It's just you would probably know that it's the... I'm going to take you to Mexico. We should travel to Mexico City.
Oh,
man.
What time
if
are we leaving?
I know, right?
It's not even that far.
Right,
yeah, it's
my
like 3 hours
traveled.
And a half.
Yeah, yeah, my father went to Mexico all the time.
Right, but you yeah. would know how, like, it's just
oh,
like how...
Oh, no, going with you.
It's just toasted, right? And it's just when you have that bite, it's just all together. And, you know, especially that Oaxaca cheese, which is like that cheese that is a stringy cheese.
Ooh.
And it's just when you put it on the flat top and it melts. And then you put it on that torta and on top of it. And just like it all comes together. And it's so beautiful that when you bite it, it's just all everything. You have avocado, tomato, the refried beans. And
yeah,
we have a vegan too. We have a vegan torta, which is a popular one.
Yeah, we have a vegetarian, many vegetarians of the magazine.
Right.
But Danielle, who is our assistant art director, is a huge fan. She comes in for the torta.
Oh, of course. Yeah. And she likes the sopes. I mean, mm-hmm. pretty much, I'm very thankful that you guys always come over and try different
yeah.
stuff that
have. You're too close to our office.
Yeah,
not to,
yeah.
but we would travel, you know, oceans to get to you.
Well, let me know if you ever need a delivery. I'm happy to come over.
Okay. How about everybody? anybody else who's listening.
We'll take some orders. No.
Yes. Are you on Grubhub or any delivery?
No, system? I do not. No, yeah. I always think that it's better of you when you come in and get it, and that you feel that love when you come in, even if you take it, you know, to go. Because sometimes our place is so small that it's like, so it gets so crowded in there, but people love it. They want to stay there. And I'm like, thank you. Yes. Thank you for, you know, enjoying the vibe, the music. Yeah. Or
how many bar stools? I mean, it's like,
like 10. Yeah. Yeah.
And you have some outdoor.
I do have some outdoor seating, you know, weather permitting.
Yeah.
I try to make it so beautiful. We have flowers out there that my mom potted, you know, for me. Oh, and they're so beautiful. That. She's in Mexico. She makes sure, she's like, did you water the plants? Please make sure you take pictures of them. Send them over. So I have to send her pictures to make sure.
She's holding you accountable. Right.
I wish my daughter would allow that to happen.
You know, I got to listen to mom. If not, I get in a lot of trouble. We're very, very Latinos, like a very, at least for my family, it's just something that when mama says, you have to do
it. She's the original mama luchadora.
She's la jefa. She's the boss.
Yeah. So speaking of that, actually, you share with me a story that was really beautiful the first time I was getting to know you. You were just talking about your parents and the neighborhood and people who come in to the restaurant. And you said that, you know, people come in all the time for water. And, of course, you give them water if they're thirsty. They're not necessarily customers or people who might not have money. Come in not intending to buy, but you, of course, will give them a drink of water. But one day, and we all know you are the most generous, giving, loving person. We've established that. But one day someone came in and said they were hungry, asking for food. And, you know, you felt badly, of course, but you turned them away because, you know, you're a business. You're a young business, and you have to be able to make it somehow. So tell me the story of what happened when your mother actually scolded you.
I got into a really big state. Yeah, I got in trouble. Jane.
So I didn't forget that story.
Yeah, no, of course not. Yeah, no, she's like, don't ever turn anyone away because until I was, like, she turned 15, she had the pair of shoes, like, you know, they couldn't afford it. She didn't own any shoes. They were barefoot for. So So she's like, you don't know what it's like
to be hungry.
Yeah.
I mean, we're all welling up a little here.
Yeah.
I mean, if everyone could think that way. You know?
I mean, she started very early to work because she would work in cornfields. So, you know, that's where it came out as Tortillas Vida, which is our tortillas is life. That's why it came out because you asked her, what does a tortilla mean?
That's
she
right.
She said, it means life because it gave us food. It
That's
gave
right.
us, you know.
I have so, the
so
chill.
Very
because she's Spanish and maybe a bit of English, but I know you translate
it. Yeah, I try to make it. Yeah, but it's really hard when you interpret for someone. It's not the same feeling as the Spanish. Our Spanish is a lot of passion.
But it came through when that's
it came
what
through,
you
definitely.
Told, when that's how you translated it. We all hugged. I remember that moment. It was really...
Yeah, my mom has taught me so much. My mom is amazing, you know. She's a very... the lessons that I've learned from her. Even like now that she says she's getting older, she shares more stories with me, which is even better. She shares beautiful stories. Like we have, she put corn. She planted corn in so we have a huge pot outside with corn. So I was like, mommy, I'm gonna tear it apart because it's like overtaking everything, no? She's like, no, do not take that, you know, the corn, because you know what it means? It means my dad, because we used to, you know, the cornfields, we used to work the cornfields, and it reminds her of that, of grandpa.
Lovely. A symbol.
So all this, you know, this thing, so I'm like, God, like, why, mom? I'm going to cry all the time with you. But it's beautiful. It's beautiful. Those are lessons that we learned through.
Will she bring back? I know you're bringing back the nixtamal corn.
Oh yeah, the nixtamal that brings back to the corn.
The exporting things.
Like we have we're getting it, you know, from Chicago or Los Angeles or some, you know, some corn. But that's coming with the corn, no, the nixtamal.
In your mom's luggage?
No. No, of course not. No, she goes to Mexico. She loves to. to travel, and she's actually in Oaxaca right now.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, she was she's going to the beach. Wow. She's enjoying life.
Oh, as she should. She sounds like she's such an incredible woman, and I think everything that you've learned from her clearly shows in the business. And, you know, something I really wanted to ask you about, I think ever since the restaurant opened, you've had this philosophy of collaborating with other small businesses and, you know, creating these food experiences. One that comes to mind is the one that you did with Ekiben.
Oh, yeah.
And I know that you're also doing pop-ups all the time, Monument City and places like that. So tell me a little bit about your experience just connecting with the Baltimore food scene.
Oh, my God. I'm very, I couldn't be any more blessed, you know, that, you know, they reach out to me or I get to meet them. And they're incredible people. Like, just we understand each other because we're in the same business, you know,
right.
And we go through the same struggles. Different than others, but it's just like we're all in the same boat, and we always, I think that Baltimore has become is the place for the food scene that we all can come together. We're no competition to whatsoever, which is makes it so beautiful
and
unique.
It is unusual that way.
And you get to see all these beautiful collaborations like the one in Ekiben, no?
Yes.
Ekiben was amazing. I was so nervous, but I felt, you know what, Stevie told me, he's like, you're the bride of this. Enjoy. And I was like, what are you talking about? I get to do all the work. I'm like, no, like, we have to do this. He's like, you already worked. Like, you know, enjoy it. He's amazing. I love Stevie, you know. And he comes over to my place and we share, you know, I give him, like, come on, try this out. Like, he's like,
you support
oh,
this each
is so,
other.
Of course.
Yeah. So this pop-up came as a result of the death.
Oh,
deaths,
of course.
Right?
Yeah, this pop-up came up because of that. He's like, let's come together. Let's show everybody that we're all about love and that there's no discrimination whatsoever.
So he just picked up the phone and called you?
No, he came over.
Yeah.
He came over personally.
Him? Did you know him?
Yeah, I knew him before. It's through Audiel, through my brother, and just, you know, he would come over.
Yeah.
All the time, he loves sopes. Look
yes.
at him. Like, look at him. I'm telling you, like, what he likes. Bring him over some sopes.
Him that day.
I know he loves sopes, and he loves all the food that we make. I'm very thankful to have him as a friend, to call him as a friend. I could, like, text him if I need anything. He's there.
That's
beautiful. That's what makes us amazing, no, in Baltimore.
Yeah.
Come to the city. This is an amazing city, right?
Yes.
Especially that what we've been through
we've had
lately.
A rough week.
We did have a rough week.
But you know what? Everybody came out and we're like defending our city because we love this city.
Yes.
Yeah, in a way,
right?
It's given us a chance to, you know, I remember, you know, my first, probably not my first, but when I was in college, I wrote a column and I had a typo. And then I also wrote a sentence that apparently this reader didn't understand, and they wrote, you know, my first note that was, you know, it wasn't a fan letter, it was someone criticizing me, and I, you know, I was really upset, and my young editor, you know, friend said, another college student said, you know, there's no such thing as, you know, this person's a fan, they're hanging on every word, even the words that are misspelled, and you know, and
right.
it just put more spotlight on me, you know, whether it was positive. There's no negative attention, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. In that way, yeah, it came out the positive.
Yes.
Everything, it was, we made it the best that we could do it. And that was, you know, doing this pop-up was amazing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I think if there's anything that can come of so much negativity, it's the way that Baltimoreans in the food scene or, you know, outside of the food scene just come together and bring positivity and spotlight all of the amazing things about this city that maybe people in other places don't see.
I think, you know, after Freddie Gray, we saw this too.
Yes.
The coming together wasn't the same thing, but people were coming together and supporting each other and just putting their arms out.
Yeah, because we love this city.
Yeah.
Like,
you
know, we're going to defend it no matter what. And we're going to invest in this city because that's what we're doing.
Yes.
And, you know, and like I always say it, always put it on my Instagram account. I always thank all the community that come out and support us all the time. They come out in when it's hot weather, when it's like, you know, cold weather. Like, you come out and support us. That's love right there. What else can I ask
That's
for?
That's right.
What else? And
Nothing.
Then sharing memories that my food, you know, they reminds you of some, you know, that of Mexico or your grandmother's cooking. That makes me wake up every day and I'm like, yes. This is what I wake up for. It's not easy, but, you know, it's totally worth it when you share stories like that with me. So
Is your daughter learning to cook Mexican food?
Oh, well, she loves making tortillas, though. She does. She gets it. She knows how to make tortillas. She makes mini tortillas. You know how little kids are. They just love to play with it. She's nine.
Nine.
Oh. Yeah, but she loves making those mini tortillas.
And she works the register a little
sometimes bit? Sometimes I'm teaching her. Sometimes, you know, it's important because that's how I grew up, even though maybe at that time I didn't appreciate it. And I was like, oh, I don't want to go there, you know, or work because... But it's not, you saw it as work. Now I see it as a lesson.
Yeah.
No?
Yeah.
It's important because now it taught me how, you know, all those hardworking hours, I saw it with my parents, no, yes. With my dad. Now with the restaurant, my mom did help out, you know, with the restaurant in New York with my dad. So they would do a lot of the cooking. I saw that. And, you
know. That's what you know. Now, yeah.
That's what I know. And you know what's the funny thing? It's like, I'm not going to have a restaurant. Like, I would think like, you know, never going to have a restaurant. And look, here I am.
What did you study? I think you once told me.
Well, I went through like just the first year of business administration, like a business. Like, I wanted to do marketing. When you came over, I was like, oh my God, this is so beautiful. And like advertising and all that.
Yeah.
And I think maybe sometimes I love, that's why it comes with art.
Yes.
And the colorful stuff
you're
that
very
I have,
artistic.
No?
You are it's a visionary.
The, I love to support local artists and even just, or California artists, like, you know, in Texas. And they're now my friends.
Wow.
That we support each other. And, like, I shout out to them, like, look at this art. Like, I love this. I put it on my stories, no?
That's fun.
It's a way of supporting each other, you know?
So what are your sort of hopes and dreams for the future? Are you going to open another restaurant?
Well, I want to do a food truck. There's going to be a launching of a food truck coming soon. We're going to start off with a little 1970s Volkswagen that I want to bring out.
They're coming back. Oh, Volkswagen, not
Volkswagen, the
bus.
the minivan, you know.
Yeah. They're making new ones.
No, yeah, that's too expensive,
sure,
though.
The
electricity.
Not as nice.
But, yeah, my husband is fixing it up. It's so beautiful.
Oh,
it's
so
called
you have
La Combi.
One.
Yeah, yeah.
What
yeah,
color?
It's blue, but we're gonna make it like cave cocina luchadoras.
Oh, and, I am envisioning
out
good.
There.
Wow.
It's coming up. It's coming up. 1970.
When are you gonna open? Do you think?
Well, I'm hoping that I'm gonna launch it on September.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, along with my branding, you know. With
we
the,
had to get it out
everything.
Of you. Where is it gonna be? Is it gonna be parked? Or you gonna?
It's gonna be parked.
Around?
We're gonna just do it in pop ups or different events that we may have.
That's so exciting.
So it's
gonna
be amazing.
There's such a platform for that.
I'm
envisioning it in my mind. I'm so
excited.
Oh yeah.
I have an Instagram for it. Yeah.
You
I haven't too? Like really putting it out there, yeah. But yeah. But some people know about it.
What's
it's really
called?
Nice.
What's the Instagram?
La Combi. La Combi is in my
bio. Is that truck?
At La Combi, it's called. That's how we call those. Is the Volkswagen.
The SUV. Okay.
In Mexico, combis.
And is it gonna have another name or?
No, it's gonna be Cocina Chadoras, La Combi. I haven't thought about it yet, but it's gonna go along with. You know, it's gonna be amazing. I'll let you guys know so we can. We can have so much fun in there. It's going to be so good.
I want to drive.
Yes.
Yeah, I know, right? My husband is fixing it, but you know how to drive stick shift? It's a stick shift, no?
I barely know how to drive automatic.
We'll just have you take pictures on it.
Yes. Well, you know, we are going to be doing a food truck story, which I'll tell you more
about
later.
That's going to be very interesting.
Yes.
We are going to do some ride-alongs. So
yeah, that was going to be really nice. We're going to have a lot of fun.
I can't wait. I'm so excited for you. I think.
Yeah, I love food trucks. Yeah. Food trucks are amazing.
Yeah, and all of the events, I think, that, you know, give the opportunity for food trucks to shine around here.
Yeah.
Awesome. Wow.
Yeah, I did. I was on my first food truck pop-up, but with Kaya from Wild Time.
That's right. That's right. I remember we talked about this. That's incredible. But no, seriously, Rosalind, we can't thank you enough for being here today.
Well, thank you so much for having us. I really appreciate it.
Yes, absolutely. And thank you, everyone, for listening. And you can check out our Best of Baltimore issue, which is now on newsstands. And our food coverage, you can check out every day at BaltimoreMagazine.com.
Local Flavor Live podcast is powered by AudioStack, which provides all the tools you need to host, distribute, and monetize your podcast.